Yo, you're listening to Mindset Matters with your host, RJ DeLeon. I'm going to take you guys on a journey through the lens of new and accomplished entrepreneurs. So tune in and listen to the mindset shifts our guests have made to become successful entrepreneurs. Always remember this. You can literally do whatever the fuck you want in life. That is a perfect reminder and perfect for this podcast. We don't know who said that, but Brad Sweet, our next guest, lives by it. And I'm so thankful he has that as his opening quote. Who's Brad Sweet? He's the co-founder and CEO of Same Same But Different Music Festival, where they have approximately 6,000 to 8,000 music goers each individual day over a three-day music festival. He's also a co-founder of Same Same Presents, which is their promotional and concert arm where they host a plethora of concerts around the San Diego, LA, California area. Pretty amazing. Also, you could find him as an author. He wrote the book on the music business, which is actually called The Music Business, 2018-2019 edition. He's a great guy. I went to college with him. So glad we're here to catch up with him. But as always, guys, you're listening to Mindset Matters with your host, RJ DeLeon. We meet every single week and think of this as a mastermind. We really want to get you guys out of your comfort zone and help the aspiring entrepreneur. If you're too scared, if you have many negative beliefs or a lot of people telling you you can't do something, remember the quote by Brad Sweet. Always remember this. You can literally do whatever the fuck you want in life. So with that said, I'm going to bring on Brad and let him introduce himself. Brad, what's up? It's been a long time. Happy to have you.
What's happening? Yeah, it's good to be on. How are you doing, RJ?
Doing well. Doing well. You've moved out of the Illinois area and you're doing amazing things, same, but different things. Because I remember in college, you know, we used to party together, music festivals, you know, we were concert goers. And we ran through with the same crowd. So tell the audience what you've been up to.
Yeah. Yeah. Who'd have thought that would actually be what I took from college and used in my career? I moved from Chicago actually. And it was right after graduating. So 2007, moved to Arizona for about 4 years and then found my way out to Southern California. I'm in San Diego now. And yeah, like you said, been this music business has gotten a hold of me, and I've just fallen in love with it. I've been a musician for years. So for years I was touring with different bands out of Southern California, and then wanted to throw a little event. And that little event has kind of grown from there into a little bit bigger event.
A little bit bigger event, I would say a huge event. You know, if we're talking about 24,000 to 36,000 music goers, and you have amazing guests like Grizz, Harry Mack, one of my favorites. Grizz is one of my favorites. Jay Wara, who came up through the ranks with us as well. I mean, that little event, what gave you the idea for the little event?
I think it spurred, I guess out of a few different things. You know, as a musician, I'm in love with music, and I've always wanted to do something with music. I knew that I would be doing something with music, whatever that was in my life. And you know, kind of found myself, I was touring around a lot, you know, playing music in different bands, and I was working a 9-to-5 that was like a pretty just, I guess just didn't give me anything out of life when I was working that job. And there was just this, there's this moment on one night, and probably, you know, some glasses of wine were involved. And I was like, I want to do something bigger. I want to do something, have something that like I create. I think that's always been something that I love, even like as a musician, when you finish a song, you can say, this is mine. I've created this. And it's that creative, you know, kind of endeavor, I guess, where you can take ownership of something bigger than yourself. That I wanted to do that. And I texted this, so he was a musician that I had played with, and we were on tour. So I knew what he was capable of. He's now my partner. We've been, you know, doing this now for, since 2000, I guess this was September, 2017 when I texted him. He wrote back, like, it was honestly like 30 seconds later, but I wrote him, I was like, hey, we should start a music festival. And he wrote back, he was like, yeah, I'm 100% in. and usually those things like fall apart after a couple days, or maybe like a few weeks, or maybe you even get together and like sketch out a plan. And, you know, just the type of people that we are, I knew there was going to be something there, and that we weren't just going to let it die. And, you know, sure enough, it just kind of kept going. And then it was like, whoa, this is actually getting real, you know? And that's sort of where the idea spurred from.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that story. It's, you know, you hit on one of the points that was from an early episode, and I call it the law of diminishing returns, but it's really diminishing intent, where you are actually afraid that you have all this excitement and momentum, but with a lot of different things you're not passionate about, if too much time elapses, that excitement wears off and doesn't move forward. On top of it, 2017, you guys have been doing this for 5 years. So you hit COVID, and COVID must have been one of those years that when you're hitting your stride, took a huge setback for yourself. So this is a two-part question. Can you tell me how you made sure that momentum was always there, whether it's your partnership dynamics or whatever, and then how COVID affected the business and how you guys were able to overcome that obstacle?
Yeah, well, I think starting with COVID, you know, it's interesting. You know, the first thing that I look out for when I'm thinking about the business, and like kind of number one, like what I truly think makes this festival so great is our teams. Like, we have a passionate group of people that are a part of this, and it's grown now, you know, when the festival's on, like, you know, on our staff is, it's, you know, around 400 people that are working for the festival. And so, you know, that all kind of, you know, feeds up to these individuals that are heading up all these, you know, departments that care so much about what they're doing, and making sure every like fine detail is thought of. And, you know, that's what makes us different. That's what's creating this community around what we're doing. And, you know, really it shows in what we do, and we get that feedback all the time. So, you know, COVID hits, and now, you know, we're trying to figure out kind of what we do with everybody and what can we do. And we didn't, you know, we didn't really know, but you know, in those first couple of weeks, what we were going to be up against, I guess, as nobody did, but we're certainly not in the right business for succeeding during COVID. We're a large event, and you know, literally, little house parties are making the news. So, what we ended up doing was figuring out, I think, as a lot of different businesses did, you know, how we start doing streaming events and how we stay relevant during that time. We ended up putting together fundraisers where we were donating money and basically helping musicians and bands survive during COVID. And we were broadcasting, we got all of this, you know, music equipment, and like on the fly, we're like, all right, how do we get camera? Like, we turned all of our teams basically into cameramen. And you know, video switching, and you know, had these like really elaborate shoots in different studios. And then as COVID started, you know, like, you know, vaccines came out and things like that, people were more comfortable and like rules loosened up, we started doing them in backyards and different smaller concert venues. But Ended up, you know, I guess as a positive, raising, I think it was, you know, over $20,000 for different for musicians, just through those streaming events. As a business, you know, kind of kept us relevant, got a lot of new fans into what we were doing that weren't previously. Really just kind of blew up our, you know, those email lists, those contact databases during that time. And then we started hosting these little things that we called micro festivals. Once it was a little bit more comfortable that we could do that, where I remember the first one, nobody had like heard live music in so long, and everybody showed up. You know, we were like, we're going to do a 50 person event, but it's going to be a camp out. You know, we had all these restrictions in place that we needed to, you know, masks required and things along those lines, but which right now it's like, man, that sounds like it kind of sucks. But like then everybody showed up and they were just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I like, I'm free again. Like I'm seeing a person in front of me and it's not at the grocery store for 1 second. You know, the musicians like hadn't played in so long and they were, you know, it was just like this moment. We were like, we need to do more of these because it's, you know, people came in a very dark place. I feel like, you know, just hadn't been out of the house in so long, and people left those events feeling with a lot of positivity, you know. And right. I think it helped people with, like, you know, depression and, you know, some of those things. And I think festivals can do that, and that's a big part of what we do. So yeah, it was cool, and those kind of kept growing too. And you know, most of it just kind of kept food on the table. That's about it.
Is that how the promotional arm came about?
No, we had been doing concerts before that. I would say what that did was, you know, a lot of the people that came to those events, like I said, you know, our staff is huge. A lot of those people we ended up connecting with on a deeper level over, you know, 3-4 days. And they were like, how do I get into, you know, kind of working on your teams?
Yeah.
They were like, well, show us what you can do. You know, we got these people here, you know, what do you want to do? You know, okay, at our next event, why don't you do that for us? And we'll see how you do. It's a very like low risk situation, because if things fall apart with 400 people, it doesn't really matter. You know, when they fall apart with, you know, 7,000 people, it's a catastrophe. So, you know, it was good. And we saw who can do what, and you know, our teams learned a lot. You know, I always say we came into 2020 with like, you know, 2 festivals under our belt, and came out of it because of those little micro festivals that we did. We came out of it with like an additional 8 under our belt. And so the teams were like super seasoned, knew what they were doing, and, you know, like really came together after that. And it united us. And like, that's what we, you know, we just have a really strong team because of a lot of that. It's a lot of, you know, we became friends too.
Yeah. What I like about that is the emotional exchange there. It sounds like you take care of your people, and just like with the concert experiences, you want to give people an emotional boost and you want to give them emotional support, which I love. And a lot of people forego when going down this path of entrepreneurship. They think that they have to do everything by themselves. So one of the questions that I have with building up the music festival is, so you have it sounds like you run everything corporate. So you have a big organizational chart and people that you've put in place to run different aspects of the music festivals or same presents. Did you inherently know how to do that from your music, from like your music experience? Or can you tell the audience a little bit about the learning experiences there?
We didn't. And what I, you know, I'll say this, I try to take in and absorb as much as I can, you know, try to learn what I can about this. I you know, I don't have business experience. I didn't go to like business school or anything along those lines. So wouldn't say that I have been like, you know, formally taught anything. I also think that's to our benefit. I think that we make up a lot of things, you know, as we go. And I've found, as I've brought on other people from, you know, bigger festivals that have been doing this for years, that we're, you know, even though we're doing things differently, that a lot of what we're doing is better. You know, it's just, we've, you know, kind of adapted new things that are, that just work, you know, that work really well, that work better, whether that's, yeah, how we structure things or how we do things or, you know, staying organized or how our, you know, back end, how the whole back end works. You know, I guess we've kind of, in a way, made up as we go along, you know, creating a corporate tree or structure, like anything along those lines wasn't something that I, you know, actually we tried to avoid it for years. We were like, no, we're not going to be like that. And then it was like, you know, there's 1 year and we were like, this is really messy and nobody knows who to answer to. And, you know, like one person would show up and be like, hey, I need this. And somebody would be like, I don't know who you are. Like you might as well just be a festival goer, you know? And, that was our head of, you know, whatever, one, some department. And so, you know, kind of had to figure out, okay, how do we do that? How do we identify these people and, all that good stuff. And some of it, we've been able to bring in, you know, good help to show us how they're done. You know, there's a lot of things that, the stakes are too high to try to just make up on the fly. You know, we can't do it. I don't have the benefit of, like, you know, testing something out and then it doesn't work for, you know, a few weeks and then we retest something different. We only get one shot per year and we've been growing by, you know, double or triple each year. So when you're talking about like that kind of a growth, some of the things like you don't want to, if you screw up on, you know, like I said, it can be disastrous, as you see in the news, like festivals make the news, like a lot of them, you know, it's not easy to do.
this is no fire festival, guys. Brad Sweet's the real deal.
The year we started this was the year Fire Festival happened too.
Oh my gosh. I just watched a documentary on that.
Yeah, it's we we're, you know, we're a beachfront, we're a music festival that takes place on the beach. And, yeah. You know, with the water is a huge component of it. It's like Southern California and palm trees. And we like drop this video to promote it, you know, and we're like our first year. And, you know, now our name doesn't sound so stupid that we've been around for a little while. We're becoming a little bit of a staple. But, you know, same, but difference, a stupid name for a first year festival. And it's right after Firefest dropped and, you know, and everything sure. News and people were like, oh, Firefest 2. No, I swear we're going to do it.
See, there's a lot of lessons in that, though, which you were talking about the formal education. And I just listened to something this morning that was talking about a very small percentage of billionaires actually have a bachelor's degree. And we also talk about traditional thought and think and how the traditional education system and social pressure wants us to stay away from risk. So basically saying that you going into this fresh, you don't have a lot of the underlying expectations or ideas of how things should work and how they should go. So as you've built the organization and the music festival, it sounds like you're doing things better. So that just goes to show that even though you're doing risky things, you do have to have a vast amount of due diligence. And some things from the corporate structures do work well, such as an organizational chart, but you're still paving the way to be the same, but different, and to do things better and do things with people and build teams.
Yeah. I've always liked just looking at a problem solving it and figuring out the best way to solve that problem. Everything can be solved. You know, you look at what's going on and just breaking it down into its smallest components that you can. And then figuring out, you know, of those components, what's my best way to kind of move forward out of that. And I think if you take somebody that's dealt with that same problem before, they're going to say, well, this is how you solve it, you know, and it's something that's been done, you know, plenty of times, and here's the structure that works. Whereas kind of coming at it fresh and saying, well, you know, maybe there's new technology out there that can do this, or maybe automations, or, you know, maybe putting, you know, I don't know, just doing things a little bit differently. Sometimes that creates some better workflows and better outcomes. And I think that, you know, as business owners, that's what you're doing constantly, is just solving the next problem and, you know, figuring out how to put out the next fire or whatever that might be.
Yeah. And I don't even think as business owners. So if you look at life in general, everything that you do is solving a problem. And it could be as little as, I'm hungry, solve that problem, go get something to eat. Or working at McDonald's, you're there to solve a problem. People need food, nourishment. So you're serving them and you're solving that problem. So it could be from the smallest individual task every single day to very large problems. And as entrepreneurs, business owners, thought leaders, that's really what we're here to do, to act as a voice, to solve problems. And that's how businesses start and get sprung. So that's awesome. That's great. Thanks for dropping that bit of knowledge there. So I want to go back to the audience that you have. You got Manic Focus, Harry Mack, Moon Boots, you know, you got all these great people, Chromium, Glitch Mob. These guys are huge, you know, some of them international names. So are you involved in the lineup? Can you tell the audience a little bit about the setbacks that you had trying to get these big names to your music festival, maybe even year one, year two?
Yeah. It's really hard because you can't just, and especially, like I said, after Firefest, all of a sudden, every single agency completely changed around what their criteria was, and it destroyed the faith in what, you know, festivals. And so, year one, they put us through the ringer before we could even book anybody. And what we ended up doing, because we didn't have experience, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. B, when I started this, I was like, I want to start something that, you know, this might grow into like a couple hundred person, like backyard festival. That was kind of the initial, like, this is what it might be, you know, not what it is now. But so we were coming into it and we ended up finding this property that just checked all of these boxes. And we were like, oh, this could, I mean, I look at it, it's been described like by, you know, like just in the press, but I really like it as Coachella with a lake, you know? And so it's the palm trees, the desert, like the whole, like the beach, the camping, like all of that. And it's, you know, an hour and 15 minutes from LA. So it's that LA, you know, beautiful people that are all there. And like seeing this property, we were like, oh, this could be something. Like we could have a destination festival that really grows into something that's, you know, a place people want to go. And so we were like, well, we're going to need to get bigger names if we want to do this. We can't just go with, you know, our friends that are in the San Diego bands and think that we're going to, you know, pull any more than 50 people. And at that rate, we're going to have to charge everybody like $10,000 a ticket to pay for this thing. So we were like, all right, let's, you know, start booking. And it kind of came down to, it was a little bit of like telling one band that the other was already in and telling the other band that the other one was already in. And then somebody was just like, all right, yeah, we're good. Like we'll confirm, you know, since they are, but they weren't yet. So it was a little bit of like faking it. And then once that first one confirmed, that first big name, which was a funk band called, I think it was actually the Floozies confirmed first. And so they're like a electronic funk DJ duo. And so once they confirmed, then another headliner confirmed, and then the rest of the acts confirmed, we were like, holy shit, we have a lineup, you know, and that's kind of how it all came together. And yeah, I'm involved in the booking process of it. My partner Peter has a lot more, like you can name any band and tell, you know, like from super huge to really small, and he's like probably heard of them and probably even seen them live and like knows all about their everything. And so he's a huge asset. And then we have a booker that you know, works like to really do all the negotiations, that was with he was with Insomniac and Live Nation for years. So to have him on the team is like a huge, you know, a huge asset, just because he knows everybody. I mean, that's where we're at now. Yeah, it was just us scraping it together at the get-go. Yeah. Though
fake it till you make it, we all know that saying. But you knew you had it, and you have to take risks. So you took those risks, and there is huge reward. Because at the end of the day, what were you truly risking? But I want to say you were risking a shot at your future, at your passion, at what you truly want to do. So, and you weren't willing to let that go, to let that die, which... Law of diminishing returns, guys. Just make sure if you're really passionate about something, you won't ever let it die. If it keeps resurfacing, make sure you're pursuing it. Make sure you're doing something every single day to move the needle forward. Because that's really all it takes. It's just perseverance. So I'm going to ask you that question, Brad. How do you stay motivated?
Well, that's it. It doesn't even take motivation, because it's just there. It's just constantly there. I would say I've worked the job that I'm not passionate about, you know, and it pays well, and you know that you're going to be stable, and there's huge benefits to that. And like, I, you know, it's definitely the right type of situation for a lot of people. For me, it wasn't really what I wanted to be doing, at least at that moment in my life, you know, and I, or right now. And so I would say a few things. I mean, one is I wake up every single day and I'm just excited to continue working on this, because it's something that I love doing and want to just continue seeing it grow. And it goes back to the first thing that I said about, I love creating something that, you know, you can just say is, you know, is something that I created, whether that's a song or a book or a festival or, you know, whatever is being done. So I love seeing this thing grow, and I love, you know, the people that we have involved and what I get to do every single day. So that's not a difficult one, but I think the harder thing is making, you know, those riskier type of decisions, or, when I think about that, I always think about, if I'm looking back on my life, you know, and, you know, in however many years, would I think, you know, the weakest and the worst emotion that, you know, you can have, and we all have it, we all have things in our life that we regret, but when you look back and you regret something, you can't do anything about it. And so I try to think in advance, would I regret more doing this and failing at it, or would I, you know, regret not doing it and not knowing, you know, what I would have done? And those answers differ, you know, always in different times and different things that I'm doing. And sometimes it's like, I don't care if I do this, actually. Like, I wouldn't look back and be pissed whether I skip this or not, you know. And other times it's like, this would eat away at me for years and years and years, and I'd always say, wow, what if I just did that? Wonder how that would have went. So I don't know. I try to think like that, because the worst that happens is, never really that, you know, that bad, as long as you're not hurting anybody and it's not going to land you in prison or anything.
Right. Mindset matters. And I think that was a very great way to put it. Look at the decisions you're making today and think, is this something that you're going to regret not doing or doing in the future? And it's so simple, but it's so true. And even entrepreneurs like myself, you know, while you were telling that story, I was like, yeah, there's a couple things that I'm on the fence about that I would 100% regret if I don't do. So just make those decisions. It's about making the timely decisions. So I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's a huge mindset value that we should all have. We, you know, when you were talking about your corporate 9-to-5 experience, I always laugh and say the best entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs that have that itch that won't go away are typically the worst employees, because you sit there and you daydream every day about what you should be doing differently, how your life could be better. And it's typically about those regrets, decisions you didn't make in the past, opportunities you had in the past that, you know, I'm sure, Brad, if you would have approached a few people, I don't know if you did, and said, let's create a music festival, people would have been like, you're crazy. You know, I'm not going to do that. But now they look at it and see what you've built, and it's, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Mm-hmm. And it's the story of, is it Chicken Little, or like, nobody wanted to help bake the bread, but everybody wants to help eat the bread.
Yeah.
It's always a little bit of that. So
I think the other thing that always gets brought up, and you know, when I first started this, it was a side hustle, not a side hustle. I wouldn't call it that. Side hustle is something that's like making you consistent money every day, but it was like a side project, I guess I'll call it. I talked to a lot of people about this, and you know, about, you know, when can I quit that job and move full time into what I'm doing and what my passion is. And you know, there, of course, there's no right answer or wrong answer, but I will say that once I did, it's a hard decision, and there was never a right time, you know, to turn away the money and be like, all right, I'm going to go for it. And maybe some businesses do have that. For me, it wasn't, you know, it was like, all right, I'm just, you know, I'm pulling the plug, I'm going 100% in, and let's do this, you know, simply because I was like, I would regret not doing it. And the difference was crazy, just in you know, the name of your podcast, Mindset Matters. When you wake up every single day, and all you're thinking about, you know, from, you know, when as soon as you, you know, sit at your computer and, you know, 7 a.m. until you're done working, is how you're going to make your own business more money. You don't have distractions. You're not thinking about the other job that you have to do. You're not caught up in, you know, half and half or anything along those lines. I found that it's just new idea, things that you never thought, avenues you never, you know, thought that you would start taking, places you never thought that you would go is what you do. You know, it's, you can't even like plan it, but it's just what happens when you're devoting that much time to it. And so I would just say there's a huge difference, you know, once you do make that leap.
It's the exponential growth. And I don't know if it was like that for you. For me, when I left the corporate job, I was afraid because the money, but immediately when I did that, it was almost like a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. And
you could now focus on your passions. And then that's the exponential growth that I just mentioned, because you're able to pursue your passions with 100% of your effort. And Truly, that's what your passions need. Although, like you were saying, there's no right or wrong answer to when you leave your job. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. And we have to set ourselves up for success, or be willing to stay in the trenches just a little bit longer. And mm-hmm. I think that's a huge thing with millennials nowadays, or, you know, even younger than millennials, is the lack of patience, knowing that it's out there, it's in the future, but that you want it now. And when you don't get it now, you lose that focus and it becomes lackluster.
And probably with anybody too. It takes a while. It certainly takes a while. But if you can think 10 years from now, then you know it's gonna you can't even imagine, you know, it's 10 years from now consistently working at something. Where can something be at? You know, it can go really far. And even if you're, you know, 50 and starting, it's like, well, you'll be 60 by then. You're, you can still do it, you know, or if you're 21, like shit, you know.
Yeah.
31, it's nothing.
Yeah. That inhibited me a lot coming through the ranks, just thinking about how old we're getting. Well, I'm getting old. I'm almost 40. Can you believe that shit? Still wasn't flat. But for a long time, that used to always bother me. And I used to tell myself that I can't do this now. I'm way too old. Like, look at everybody in the industry. They're young. Or these people that are super successful, they start much younger than I, so I can't do that. And, you know, I used to even, in college, there was a 50-year-old in one of my accounting classes. And even seeing them, I thought good for them. But at the same time, I was like, why are they doing this now? And now it's like this huge revelation. Like, I should never thought that. I should have always given them props and cheers for pursuing something that they want to do, no matter the age. It's like limitless. You know, unless there's physical restrictions, there's nothing stopping you from changing your habits today or tomorrow so that you could have a different future. Yeah. So you've given us a lot of terrific nuggets, but I got to ask this. And I want to see how this comes out. So what would you tell your younger self? Take your time.
I would, and this isn't from, you know, really same, but different, because we started, I think we, you know, I'd learned this lesson by then, but, with a number of things that I've done, I started out the venture without thinking about how it was going to earn revenue. And that comes down, a lot of it was being a musician in different bands and different music projects. And I'll never stop loving that, you know, and it's a passion of mine. That's, you know, I'm a musician at the core. But it's tough to make a buck. In that business. And then also, you know, some other ventures that I had done before that, I didn't really have a plan on how I was going to make money. I was just like, yeah, it's going to be super cool. And I've only done that a couple of times, and it was with some like different side projects. And I would definitely, advise anybody, start with that. if you're looking to do any sort of business, figure out how it's going to make money first. How you're going to sell something, you know, who you're going to sell it to, and then you can start running. And that's super easy once you figure that out.
Yeah. That was a huge lesson I had to learn as well. I had big eyes, big appetite, and I'd be like, well, let's buy that. And people would be like, well, hold on. How's it going to make money? I'm like, I don't know. It's super cool though.
letting a passion get in, you know, like you let emotions guide it, or you know, whatever it is, and you want to jump full force into it, but it's got to make sense.
I think, and that's that rational thinking. It depends on your risk tolerance too, and what you want to do with life, because sometimes, actually, a lot of people, I would say, you know, live below their means and make it by scraping by day to day. So it's really, who are you as a person and what do you want to build? So I think that's really great practical advice that, hey, there's got to be a way to make revenue here. You can't just jump into everything in your life, just following passions and living by the seat of your pants. I mean, I can't say that don't do that, because a lot of people do that. But the more rational thinking, if you have a family to support, if you have other obligations, you really do have to be mindful of how it's going to make revenue, which brings us back to that point where you were saying people ask you, when's the right time to quit my job, to leave my W-2 and find my passions? And I think that's deeper rooted in, well, how much risk, how much tolerance to risk do you have? How much of a financial backing do you have? What do you want to do that's going to make revenue? And a lot of people always come to entrepreneurs that have made it or quit their 9-to-5 jobs because they want the quick and simple answers. But, you know, as a mentor myself, I'm not here to answer those questions for you. I'm here to ask you questions so that you can come to that revelation yourself. Because as you were saying, Brad, it's different for everybody. And I think you're so right with that. So thank you for sharing that knowledge. I'm going to move on to our fire round here. Everybody calls it the fire round. So hit the horns, bam, bam, bam. But really, it's just fun questions. And right. So I'm going to hit you with a couple of fun questions here that you might not have thought I would ask. And one of them is going to be, what's a food from your childhood that you loved and would you still eat it today?
It is peanut butter and jelly on like straight up Wonder Bread.
Nice.
And I do eat it again today now that I make it for my 3-year-old. And whenever he doesn't finish, I eat the rest of it. And I love it.
That's hilarious. I just made my wife made PB&Js for my son this morning, and I was sort of nibbling off his plate. And I had one for breakfast as well. So awesome. PB&J off straight Wonder Bread. Are you a grape or strawberry jelly fan?
Grape all the way.
Me too. So yeah. What's your brand of peanut butter?
I use Jif or is it Gif? No, it's Jif.
I don't know. I think it's Jif. Well, no, Jif. G-I-F. I don't know. I think I use that brand though. Yeah, I use all natural.
Jif or Jif peanut butter.
Yeah. Awesome.
Welch's is grape jelly.
Nice.
Where's the squeeze bottle of jelly rather than the jar?
Okay, next question. Although I love PB&Js, we should talk more. Next question. Where is a place in the world you visited that will continue to have a place in your heart?
Northern California, Fort Bragg. I went out there on a road trip, and it's probably what got me out to California. And I, my mom, when I was in, sorry, there's like an ambulance outside. So I did a road trip when I was 15, getting my learner's permit. And my brother had just gotten a job. He lived in Chicago. He got transferred with his job. He had the sickest job. He was a certified arborist, and he walked the power lines all day and flagged trees that were going to grow into the power lines in the next like 3 or 4 years. And then a team came out and cut them. And so he walked around basically and just like smoked weed all day and flagged these trees and like just hiked through like the redwood forest out in Northern California. And nice. It was like beautiful. But yeah, driving out there, I got out to this little town where he was living called Fort Bragg. He had like an apartment that was overlooking the ocean, like on this little bay. You walk down this path and there was like an actual like full on, you know, like all of the fishermen came in, and there was a wharf, and they were all like cutting them up, and you just get fresh fish, right, like off the boat. It was a cool spot, and it was just such a cool like week or two that we spent out there. And yeah, I've visited it a bunch since then. And I don't know, I never even knew something like that could exist, let alone, you know, I was like, I gotta find myself out in California. That's a cool spot.
That's awesome. Good emotional ties. I mean, obviously everything's always emotionally based. So Fort Bragg out in Northern California. For a minute, I thought you were talking Fort Bragg, the military base.
Yeah, in North Carolina.
where a lot of our friends have gone to start their military careers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, can you even visit that? But Fort Bragg, Northern California, I'm going to look that up. I love hunting, fishing, and the outdoors. So I'm going to put an asterisk there, though. Everybody, Brad Sweet's brother smoked legal weed. I'm just That's an awesome job. Arborists are hard to come by. Like, the jobs are hard to come by, but when you get a good one, like, you're set. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and now he owns a bakery, and they've been doing that for a while, but that job was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. All right. What is a book, fiction or nonfiction, that you would recommend to the audience?
I you know, since we're talking about like entrepreneurial and in that vein, I really, really like the book Start With Why. I know it's a popular one, but I read that, and it kind of brought home a number of things that I'd been, you know, kind of summarized a bunch of things that I had been feeling and thinking. And I think I read it around the time that I was starting the festival. And I'd recommend it, because when you talk about motivation, that's the center of it. I think it's about why, you know, starting with why. If you haven't read it, you know, like, for anybody that hasn't, it's about, you know, just like the title says, starting with why are you starting your, you know, if you're doing anything, you know, really, but in the business world, if you're starting a business, what's your why, what's the reason that you exist? And it's not, you know, to make money, that could be any business, you know, it's what's at your core, what are the core values of what your business does that are different than, you know, any other business. You know, it can't be something like we want to treat our employees nicely. You know, everybody wants to do that,
yeah.
But it's what makes you a different company, what makes you a different, you know, business or a different individual. If it's just you, you know, even if you're an athlete, or, you know, why do you want this? And when you have that, then it makes it a lot easier to wake up every single day, because you know what your path, you know, your goal, you know, you kind of have that, it's deeply rooted in you, you know, the why is the center of everything. Yeah. So I like that book a lot. I'd recommend that.
I gotta read that. That's one I haven't read, but one that I hear a lot about, but you're actually the first one to recommend it on the podcast. So Start With Why.
Yeah, I like that. And it is the easiest way, when you know what your why is, to inspire your teams and those around you to follow what you're doing, because you can easily communicate what needs to be done, you know, and why it should be done.
Yeah. Communication is key. So Start With Why, guys. Figure out why you're doing the things that you're doing, and everything else should come easier. Last question here, but I do have a bonus question. I'm going to put you on spot for it. Last question is, what do you like to do in your spare time? What's Brad Sweet do to relax?
Lately, so I play a lot of music, so I'll just sit down on my keyboard. As of recently, started working on some music again, actually, I've been inspired by, so I want to, a goal of mine is to put out like an album of music, you know, pretty soon. I kind of have a direction that I want to take that. It's been weird to be not playing music for so long, and now have all the, like, now I have all the connections where, you know, festival owners are like, yo, you have something, like, if you have a set, I'll throw you on, I'll give you a time slot. I'm like, don't, you know, I got nothing. So I have some ideas there, to unwind. Yoga has been a big part of my life over the last, I would say like half a year. It's been helping a lot, just with, like, I don't know, I feel my body's feeling just in a lot less aches and pains, I'll say.
Yeah.
I'm doing, you know, some yoga, a little bit of meditation and that type of thing. And then just general, you know, either going to the gym, or I like surfing and I like bike riding a lot. All those fun.
Gotta stay active. It's one of those things, mind, spirit, body. You gotta educate. So start with why. Educate yourself, continual self-help education, spiritual, whether or not you believe in a God, you got to believe in something so that, you know, keep you going forward every single day. And then body, like, if we don't move, our bodies break down. And I feel you, man, doing yoga, just anything that you could do, physical activity that will make you feel better, especially as, you know, my old ass is turning 40 next year. Sometimes I, you know, I'll probably get up after this podcast and be like, oh, I'm so stiff, but it's all good.
I hear you. I really do. But I don't know. I've been trying, you know, try to keep up with it daily if I can.
So here's my bonus question for you. And it's putting you on the spot. Who's a favorite artist that you've had at the music festival that had both a terrific personality and just you want to be around him because he radiated, you know, positivity?
I would say it was cool having Harry Mack this year. I would put that at one of my tops. And I might even have some honorable mention from this year too, but Harry Mack's set got cut halfway through because we had a storm. So this year we got hit with a hurricane, like the first hurricane in, I think, ever in Southern California to made landfall the weekend that we were on. And it was crazy. We had to evacuate the property twice, and it could have been disastrous, and it ended up being like awesome. You know, people all left, you know, the property when asked and moved back to, you know, their campsites and like reunited, you know, met their neighbors, waited out the storm, and then came back in, and the energy was insane. But halfway through Harry Mack's set got canceled and everybody had to seek shelter. And he went under this little area and with this small like group of people just threw down this freestyle for like 15 minutes. And those people that were able to see that were part of that, like, it just blew their minds. And it's the kind of cool, like, you know, that's, I look at that as like what music is, you know, that's those kinds of moments. It's not looking at somebody on a stage when, you know, those are sick too, with all the lights and the lasers and, you know, the big LED screens and performances, but those intimate, you know, one-on-one type of connections with a group and an artist, like that's what music is. So I love that, you know, when you see that passion in somebody, and most musicians have that and are down to do that. And that's why I say honorable mention also. It was pretty cool. Two of my favorite bands, Wolfpack and California Honey Drops. So during the rainstorm, you know, when everybody's out, they came out of their tour bus and just started jamming in the parking lot. And anybody, like, you know, there's maybe like 50 people there tops, but everybody's just kind of dancing around and there's no microphones. There's like, you know, it's not a stage, anything like that. But you're talking about, you know, a band that just sold out Madison Square Garden, just sitting in the parking lot, you know, playing guitars and horns and jamming on a little cowbell. and you know, with another band, like it, I don't know, it's just those kind of cool moments. So I think a lot of musicians, you know, when you meet them, they're down, they're nice people, at least the ones that we have at our festival. You know, maybe we don't have the super mainstream acts. We have, you know, some cooler people. Maybe that's it.
Now, thanks for those stories. It again brings it back to the basics, you know, very emotional basis there, and getting back to the basics of that's what music is, bringing people together and seeing that positivity and that interaction. Like, you don't know how that could change somebody's life or life. Just like you were saying during the pandemic, when you started these small intimate concerts and people were coming out of their homes, not interacting with anybody, maybe in deep depression, but leaving or radiating a positive, you know, vibe. That's great. I really like that you mentioned Harry Mack too, because I love his message. I've been following him for some time and trying to get him on the show. So we'll see. Hopefully we could get him on the show here. Thank you for that. Thank you for being a guest. Thank you for taking the time and jumping on the podcast and telling us your story and touching base. It was great touching base with you and terrific to hear. Everything's going so well, despite, I'm sure, there's individual battles. Sorry.
No, it's been great being on. I appreciate you having me, and I love what you're doing. And I think if, you know, the message that you're giving out for people to hear, you know, that's changing lives. That's going to help people, whatever that is, you know, taking either the next step that they might need to. You know, finding comfort in, you know, some, maybe the chaos, or finding comfort in whatever their situation is. I think that it's all good. And so I'm honored to be on the show.
Thank you. Thank you
for having me.
Thank you. So Brad's going to wrap it up with that. He's saying, find the comfort that you're not alone. Find the comfort in your pursuit of happiness, your pursuit of passion, your pursuit of business. You know, we started this podcast because we want to let you guys know that even very successful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, they deal with this stuff every single day, and it's about solving problems. So that's a terrific way to end the podcast, Brad. Is there a specific way, if somebody wants to get involved in the music festival or reach out to you, you know, LinkedIn, Twitter, is there a specific way that you'd like people to reach out? And also, where can we find your book? Want to promote that?
Yeah, the book. So the book is for a select type of audience, for sure. But it's, I wrote it for musicians that are struggling to, kind of figure out what the next steps are, how to just basically make money at you know, starting at, hey, I have cool songs that I'm playing in my garage, to how do I make this into a thing that could, like, actually support me. And I go in depth with anything from, you know, how you're going to book your first show, you know, how to get people through the doors for that, and how to negotiate those contracts, to how are you going to you know, market and YouTube marketing and different apps and the software that exists and email and text and, you know, all that good stuff. So I'll just preface with that. and it's called if you go on Amazon or any book retailer, it's called The Music Business 2018. Or if you look up The Music Business 2019, by Brad Sweet, that would be the most current one. I haven't updated it because a lot of this stuff is still relevant. It just hasn't really changed all that much. And to do it every single year, it might be good for the Amazon purposes, but I don't think it's really, really needed. So when there's new stuff to update with, I will. So that's the book. And if anybody wants to get involved in the festival, wants to work the festival, wants to volunteer, wants to be part of kind of what we're doing, there's a lot of different ways, but there's a, form. If you go to if you either Google same, same, but different festival, or go to ssbdfest.com and then click get involved, and then it's choose your adventure from there. How do you want to be involved?
Nice. ssbd.com. I recommend that everybody go there, check out what Brad's doing, look at the amazing guests he has. We have a lot of music goer fans that would love to experience something like that, myself included. And just want to say thank you. So with that said, I always end with this. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, follow, leave a review, 5 stars, share it with a friend. This is not being monetized in any way, and there are costs that are associated with it. So, you know, I'm going to have to try to figure out how to get some revenue to the podcast so that we could keep this going, because I know, like Brad said, it's impacting a lot of lives and a lot of listeners out there. So the best thing that you guys could do is just share it with a friend. So appreciate that. With that, we're done. We're going to say bye. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Hey, you made it to the end. As always, thanks for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please let us know by leaving a review, sharing with a friend, or simply reaching out. Also, we are always searching for our next guest. So if you have what it takes or know somebody that should be on, be sure to reach out. See you next week.